Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Carl from Deviant Legion, and today we are blessed with the presence of Vicki Love, and Vicki Love is going to introduce our movie, our Christmas movie, for our commentary watch for a DLN Christmas. So, Vicki.
Hi. Hi, and thank you for that introduction. Christmas is a wonderful time of year, right? All our expectations and Santa and everything that goes on. And as we grow up, we find out that that's not, you know, but we still, most of us still have that special feeling, which is good. So anyway, my choice for Christmas film is A Christmas Story, which stars, of course, Peter Billingsley as a kid, because he was a kid, and it's a delightful tale of everything I just said: expectations, finding out about Santa, love and bullying, and all kinds of different things that happen just around Christmas time, and how our families react to each other. So it's really great fun, and I can still remember the first time I saw this movie. The first time I saw this movie was the weekend it came out. My husband and I, we went to the showing with a bunch of friends, and actually there weren't a lot of people in the movie theater at the time, which is fine with me. I don't need a big crowd around me to enjoy something. But as the movie was going, I kept thinking to myself, wow, how everyone else was missing out on such a fun movie. Because, the theater was half empty. It was a cold night. It wasn't like this Indian summer we're having now or climate change summer. It was a cold night, and it was so much fun. What about the first time you saw it, Carl?
Well, I saw it on TV. And the one thing I do have to say is I was actually familiar with the material because this is based on a humorist by the name of Gene Shepherd. And there was a book that I read. What was the name of it? We Trust in God, All Others Pay Cash. And it's a book of short stories. And one of the short stories is about the BB gun. That's the only book I ever read of Gene Shepherd. But it was a lot of fun. And then I saw this and I said, damn, they did pretty well with this. Get the right tone, which is somewhat sentimental, but not overly sentimental. And I'll tell you more about the people behind this as we go on, because our director also directed another great Christmas story, which I'll talk about later.
Okay, well, Gene Shepherd did write the screenplay for this. So being faithful to the short story, that's why you have the author always involved in the film that you're making. I would love to, you know, hint, hint, Amazon, do you understand that kind of thing? But anyway, the mess of Lord of the Rings. But anyway, you can't channel Tolkien, right?
Right.
So anyway, yes, this film has people in it that actors I dearly, dearly love. It has a feeling to it, although I grew up in the desert, so I don't really know what snow was like when I was a child. It's different now. But everything from the wrapping up of yourself in a coat, or too many coats and too many sweaters and too many scarves, to the dangers of being outside when it's cold. I mean, the whole thing, But then again, also, when I was a young kid, we didn't have a lot of money. And this little film and its story reminds me of our tiny little Christmases we had and how much I miss that kind of thing right now in this mm-hmm. We all have too much now, but it was different, and the feelings were different. The emotions were different.
Mm-hmm.
One thing this thing captures. So I hope everyone will enjoy it as we move into it. Anything else you want to say? I'm watching it on Blu-ray on a disc. And this Blu-ray, if you're lucky enough to have it, also on the special features, has Peter Billingsley with commentary and the director and co-writer, Bob Clark. And I think that is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's featurettes about the Red Ryder Daisy pistol. Now, it's not a pistol, it's a rifle. And another thing about that is my brother and I, we both got BB guns for Christmas, the exact same Daisy rifle 1 year for Christmas. So when I was watching this movie as a young adult, sitting there with my husband, who did not ever get a rifle for Christmas, I just did. I grew up with hunters. It was like this special connection with this movie. It's like, wow, it centers around this kid's desire for this rifle, this BB gun. It's so cool. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I love this movie.
So I
okay, anyway.
I should also say that I am running it on Amazon because there are no ads. You can watch this on HBO Max, but there are ads. So I'm on Amazon, and it was like $3.59. So it's well worth the rental, trust me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of these are. In this day of streaming excess and streaming companies trying to rip us off on all kinds of ways, sometimes the old way of just a rental, because movie rentals, you know, my movie store went under, 10, 15 years ago, thanks to Netflix. The thing is that it was so much fun going and picking out a movie, renting that movie for whatever it was, $5.99. And that was expensive. $5.99 was a lot of money back then. And so you got to choose the right movie and bring it home and watch it and then take it back. When you rent from Amazon, it's as close to that as you get. You get to keep it for a couple of days, and then it's done, just like in the old days of movie store rentals. And so
you don't have to return
it. They you can only have it for a couple
exactly.
of days.
Exactly, they take it away from you.
Yeah, they take it away. Yeah, they're really good at that. But anyway, Amazon is the closest you can get to the old ways of movie rentals. And I thank them for that, because the whole Netflix, here's a movie, you get to have it for a month, you don't get to have it. You don't get to have a Christmas movie in Christmas time, blah, 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 blah. Not worth it. And mm-hmm. I'm a very big proponent of buy physical media. It's yours forever. It's yours forever, okay? And as long as you have your DVD player or your Blu-ray player or your PlayStation, which I use all of those. I use a Blu-ray player, and I have two PlayStations. So I utilize all my equipment. Then the movie companies and the big media companies can't take your fun away from you. Okay, that's my political statement for Christmas.
By the way, I have to say this before we start. It's nice to have you back. It's seriously nice to have
thanks.
You back. Okay,
yeah,
so I think
well,
you should start this and give us a countdown. What do you think?
Okay, let me just look at it's not going to give me a... I'm at The Lion is Roaring, MGM, UA Entertainment Company, which United Artists isn't around anymore, right?
Right, they're not.
I do have MGM Plus, which is a plus in my streaming, but, you know, you have to pay for it, monthly fee. But I'm doing this with disc because I like it better. And here's another thing. It's a Blu-ray disc, but it's not going to be the high quality of HD, blah, 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 blah. I don't mind that because the old feel of the film gives me a feeling of nostalgia. So
I was just about to say that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah? Well, I read your mind.
Yes.
Okay,
scary,
so I guess we're in sync.
We won't go into that.
Yes, we're in sync, so we shall start the film. Okay, I'm where the lion is roaring. I have no numbers to give you, no time to give you. The lion has roared once. I turned it on. I put it on pause. The lion is going to roar for the second time in 4, 3, 2, 1, start. And the music is beginning. The church bells are a-ringing.
Mm-hmm.
I love that old writing, too. Look at it.
Oh, yeah, that's great writing.
Yeah, or font, whatever you want to call it. Back then it was writing. Now it's a font.
It's writing, okay. I'm sorry. A font has
Melinda
water
Dillon.
Coming out of it, okay?
Darren McGavin, yay! Woohoo!
No, he is.
Oh, look at that.
To me, the
look at that
scene. Okay, I'm. Wait a second.
What?
Okay. So I still have a black screen, but now we've got
what?
got the guy
okay.
talking.
Oh.
It's okay. I'm with you. So
okay.
I want to say the person that is doing the narration is actually Gene Shepherd.
Right. You want to come up here, Tifa? Come on. Tifa's my cat. She's going to watch this with me. Come on. Do you want to come up here, right here? Good girl. Yes. Look at that. Streetlights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, strings of streetlights or Christmas lights. You don't see that
mm-hmm.
anymore. You just don't. They're just hanging out there. What about this? Caroling.
Oh, yeah.
Toy. I don't know. I just love the whole feel of this. Of course, old-time cars, because this movie is set in the 50s, right?
Actually, it's set in the 40s. They don't tell what date it is. They never say. But both Gene Shepherd, who did these on radio, did these monologues on radio in the 40s. And so it's like late 30s, early 40s. The film was actually shot in Cleveland, but it's based on his hometown in Hammond, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Look at those toys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the toys are
the
great.
Original Snow White. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Flyer... wagons, red wagons, the best that ever was or ever will be. Oh, a Panzer tank.
mm-hmm.
Oh, here goes Ralphie. What could he possibly see that he might want?
True.
Thank you.
Of course, he wants that rifle.
Yep. I had a Raggedy Ann and a Raggedy Andy.
Growing up, I was never into that stuff. I was much more a reader and loved books.
Well, I got them for Christmas. It's not that I was into them. I got them for Christmas. You know, people give you gifts. Look at him.
Brothers fighting. How come that's familiar to me? I'm just wondering.
The brothers aren't fighting. Oh, yes, they are.
Well, I'm a little ahead of you.
Yeah. See.
Do you remember Look magazine?
I have vintage Look magazines in a chest of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course.
So we have Melinda Dillon as the mother and Darren McGavin as the father.
Right. And a fantastic stove in the background.
Yes.
That stove will beat out any stove you have today.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're in that now. We got silly stuff in the newspaper.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. You think of Darren McGavin, you think of Kolchak, but I always think of this role, too, for him. I think this was certainly his best TV role. I mean, movie role he ever had.
Oh,
he's wonderful in this.
Well, he's in all kinds of television, but he's got movies that he was in, too. But this is a starring role, and he
nails it.
Yes.
That's one of Shepard's stories. It's about the father fighting the furnace all year because it wasn't working right.
Oh, right. That's a subplot in this.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oxidol. Wow.
That's the catchphrase for the whole movie, by the way.
What?
You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah, you are quite a bit ahead of me.
Okay. Tell you what, I'll hold up for a minute here.
No, just like 5 seconds.
Okay. There we go.
I'd just like to have some Tinker Toys.
Mm-hmm.
I like Tinker Toys. I used to build tons of stuff with
them.
Oh,
yeah. I did, too, actually.
I love those. Yeah, Tinker Toys, especially the wooden ones. When they came out with the plastic ones, it just wasn't the same.
Do you have a favorite toy that you got when you were a kid for Christmas?
Well, it would depend on what year it was. Because, like...
Oh, okay, forget it, because we're in red-wire territory now.
Right, right. this is how I'll convince them I need this gun.
I love that this is done in the style of old silent movies.
Yeah. It would not have worked in any other way.
No.
And the attention to detail is just...
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I have monkey bars like that. I love that he's shooting him in the butt and there's no blood. I'm sick of blood. Sick of everything being realistic. This is funny.
Yeah.
Oh, there, look at the horse comes up. There he goes. That is awesome.
Yep.
Look at how do you know those guys are dead? They have X's on their eyes.
On the eyes, yeah. Or right below
yeah.
the eyes, actually.
Yeah, well, it's cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those Catholics.
Sorry. Some are this, some are that. My dad was an Oldsmobile man.
Yeah.
Our family were Ford people. We were Fords. My grandpa was a Ford.
My folks were station wagon people. We actually had a way, way back.
Don't try to help him. Oh, God.
So did you ever have rubbers when you were a kid? I mean, go out in the snow or rain and you put rubbers over your...
No.
Now, we did.
No.
That was very cold. And, of course, I grew up in a very snowy area. So this is not unusual.
No, I grew up in the desert. We barely had rain. But I have to tell you, in the desert, it does get very cold because the nights are crystal clear. So there are no clouds that hold the warmth in. It gets very cold. But we don't have to wear scarves and stuff like that. Not down on the desert floor.
See, this is actually relatable in a lot of ways. I think that's why this movie works.
Yes.
You know, a lot of Christmas movies are, well, they're fake. They don't seem real in that, but this does.
Well, that's no real right there.
Well, this seems like when I was growing up in Pittsburgh or actually in Bradford, too. I'd be older than these kids, but.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about the pole is a separate short story by Gene Shepard. Actually, never published. He did it on his WOR radio show.
Well, that's the whole, what, the short stories that Wes Anderson did for Netflix.
Yep.
Are reminiscent of this.
Yes.
Of the old style of storytelling. I love this.
Oh my. You know, that school almost looks like the high school I went to in Bradford. Seriously.
Well, if you travel the United States enough, you start finding that there are certain architectures that are the same. Like police stations, they're all built with the same type of architecture. And remember those wax teeth?
Yep, I remember those. We never did it as a class, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though. Really cute. The teacher is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Silas Marr. Oh, dear. I'm such a wimp. This scene just kills me. I have a hard time with this scene.
It was a double dog dare.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't get away from a double dog dare.
Nope. You can't. That's how I got into my only fight of my elementary years. I think we were in middle school, though, because somebody dared me to punch the girl because she had hurt me bad, and so they dared me to punch her, and I'm like, oh, I'm off to do it. Oh, don't do it.
It's nice to hear you laugh.
Seriously. It's like, oh, my God. The whole thing is that why would you do this to your poor tongue? Oh, I can't deal with it. All they had to do was pour water on it, of course.
Yeah, a little hot water, that's all.
Yeah.
Now, they did this with actually special effects, practical special effects.
The bell rang. That's right.
Go ahead.
Remember classrooms that look like that?
Oh, yeah. I do.
With the alphabet and on top of the board.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Oh, there's those wonderful fire trucks.
That's
no,
a small
no.
town.
Yes, but they just... They... hose him down. Oh, no. They should have hosed him down.
See, the other thing I really like about the screenplay, it is the vignettes. You know, it's
yes.
not connected, but it is connected. And each vignette has a different feel to it, but it all works. And that's because of the screenplay.
Right.
You know, why this was never up for an Oscar, I don't know. Now, it won 2 Genies, which is the Canadian equivalent of the Oscars, for director Bob Clark and also for the screenplay by Gene Shepard, Bob Clark, and I don't have the other person who did it right in front of me, but there were three.
Well, you know, think about it back then. This was a long time ago. This was in the 70s. And
no, actually 83, I think.
83?
Yeah, I think so. Hold on, I can. Yep, 1983.
Yeah, second. Wow. I didn't look it up, folks.
That's okay.
It feels older because I remember the group of people that I went to the movies with, and I didn't realize that it was 83. Man, that was after John Lennon had died.
Yeah.
What kid? I was an English teacher. What kid in the world wants to write an essay? None. Not at Christmas time.
Unless it's for something they want. I can get that, actually. That
right.
was something
oh,
some
yeah.
of our teachers did when I was a kid in elementary.
Yeah.
No,
yes. You have to give
what
them motivation.
What do you want for Christmas and why? Write a paragraph.
I've even done that myself, even in high school.
Yeah.
Now he can't get up again. And this kid, he's, you know, he's really little, and he's still scaring him. But, you know, this fits in right at Christmas. There's nothing wrong with this being in a Christmas story.
No.
Bullying happens 24/7.
Absolutely. So the kid who played the bully there, actually, he was voted, like, the best Christmas bully ever in film over the Grinch.
Well, look at—he just punched his friend who
Cody.
Helped him. He terrorizes all the kids. He doesn't just pick one.
No. And that actually sort of makes him at least he's egalitarian in his bullying. Yeah, he'll bully anyone.
Right. Yes. Just love
the dog.
His little commentary.
I forgot about the dogs.
Oh God, well, they are players in this movie. Who would have dogs like that? Oh, I don't know. Of course you would.
I think you did, but, didn't you?
No, my dog
not
has
that
fur.
Many, though.
No, those dogs don't have fur, though. I mean, they have a little bit of fur. They're not like winter dogs. Those are more southern hound dogs. Mm-hmm. Bloodhounds. Oh. That's a Western Union telegram.
He is so good.
Yes. Sorry. Oh, my God. She plays the most perfect, innocent mom. Oh. Yep. Every family has that kid.
Well, it wasn't me, I can tell you that. I eat anything.
You know, this movie came out before I was a mother, but that whole thing about not ever having a hot meal as a mother is true,
yeah.
true.
Yep. You know who else complains about that now? Rachel.
Well, of course. Oh, my God. I would never do this with my kid. Oh,
God. McGavin's look.
I know.
Is brilliant.
I
Wanda, isn't that just a variation of here comes the plane? You know, open your mouth, here comes the plane into the airport.
Yeah, but that's somebody feeding you. At least he's feeding himself. If there's a consolation in this whole thing. Uh-oh, it's it.
No.
Oh, man.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's become such an iconic thing. You know, whenever you see this, you got to remember the movie. You know exactly where it came from.
Well, on my journeys from Virginia to Washington State, I saw this lamp twice, over there and over there, both places. One was a larger size, not quite as large as this, the original, and one was a smaller size, about maybe a foot high.
Right.
And, yeah, crazy. It's everywhere. It means so much to so many people.
And I love, with McGavin, it's the reactions. That's what this is all about.
Well,
go
everybody's
ahead,
reaction.
Yeah.
Everyone has a different reaction. It's in there.
What is it? It's a leg. Puberty
alert. Puberty alert.
Overcome by art. Art.
That's one of the great things about this movie is that the narration, how it's so
yes.
underplayed to what's happening on screen.
Right. The narration is perfect. Oh, my gosh. I just blew up my house the other night doing this. Blew out a fuse, actually. Oh, my God. They aren't fuses. They're breakers now, but breakers can be blown.
At least you don't get more ants after the breakers. Sorry. Bad pun.
Oh, and especially in winter, there are no ants.
No, I could say my Aunt Vienna would disagree, but that's beside the point.
Oh, God. Bad, Carl, bad.
Hey, I'm in the mood because of this movie, okay?
Right. But every pun and everything in this movie cannot be outdone. Look at him. He's so proud. You know, I just watched a Christmas Vacation Thanksgiving with my son Derek and his wife. And this scene reminds me of when what's his name's out on the lawn with his lights. He's so proud.
Clark Griswold.
Clark, yes, Clark. Can't, thank you. Was
electric sex.
I have one of those. I wish that my radio worked, but I have one in my living room just like that.
We used to
like
have
that.
One when I was growing up.
Yeah, well, the one that I have, it used to work, but somebody gutted it. And so it's just an ornament now, an ornament of better days gone by. Why is he running?
So much fun.
You know, all those essays I had to read at Christmas time, I always thought of that scene. That pile right there. That is not an exaggeration.
By the way, we don't talk about, you know, generally when people watch this movie, people don't talk about the teacher and the actress, but she's wonderful in this.
Oh, she's fantastic. I love her wardrobe, too.
Yeah.
That blue dress that she had on before.
Yes.
When they pulled the prank on her. Just beautiful. And this.
I'm wondering
I've read
if
a
any
couple
of your students had any daydreams about how good their essays were.
I'm sure several have. Yes, I know, because I've talked to them about it. Some about the subject, some about the writing. You know, those are few. Few students care. And she has a peach-colored dress on this time. Poor Ralphie always gets stuck in his daydreams.
You know, there is, he's like a little Walter Mitty.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's a good parallel.
And there we go.
Here we go again. And Randy back there. I don't even know why Randy runs.
Yeah, really.
I guess even if he's going to be beat up, he wants to be in on the action. Oh, God, the trees. Remember going out to get a tree, a real tree, at a, oh, my God, my father. He had to have the right tree. If we couldn't find the right tree, we'd have to go somewhere else and look for one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. The tree. It was always exciting when we were leaving to go get the tree. And when we would come home, it was like, whoa, what an ordeal that was.
You ever do caroling in the car when you were a kid?
Oh, it's my dad. No. But the Christmas music would be on the radio.
Okay. Well, with my mother being a music teacher, you can bet that happened to me a lot.
Right.
And I loved it. I loved it. I loved singing in the car.
All kids love it. No, we had to be really quiet in my car.
Well, the only time we would sing was Christmas, because otherwise that was very true. Particularly if my father was driving, which is most of the time anyway.
Well, yeah, I don't ever remember my mother driving when my father was in the car. Those are very patriarchal days.
Yep, those were definitely patriarchal days. You're absolutely right about that. Changing a tire.
I hate changing it. I can do it, but I hate it.
I know. We were in a car together. I needed to change a car. You'd be changing it. I'm sorry.
But, no, sorry. I'd be dialing my insurance company.
Never mind. Okay, gotcha.
Yes. I'd be speaking into my phone. Find insurance company.
AAA, come help.
Yes. Uh-oh.
What I thought Queen. I wasn't until my 20s before I would use that word in front of my parents. And that only happened a couple of times.
I was in, I can't remember, fifth grade when I started using it at school.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't until high school I started using it. I mean, junior high, I certainly used it a couple times. It was definitely lexicon during high school.
Yeah, well, I started using it much earlier. But I had a very dysfunctional family and a very rough childhood. However, I read a lot, so my vocabulary is very large.
Yeah, same here.
Oh.
Mellow smoothness. Life boy soap.
Yeah. You know, nobody ever washed my mouth out with soap. So one day I actually tasted soap because I knew I deserved it.
No, I never got soap either.
Well, here's the biggest reason why I didn't say that word at home. My dad would have beat me to death. So
oh, yeah.
I'm not even exaggerating at all.
No, same here. I mean, my father would definitely spank us.
No,
without
my
doubt.
Dad.
No, I know. I know
no.
Your dad. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yes. Yeah. Poor kid.
Okay, that's my mom. Don't give me that look.
I always wondered what you're going to get it. What was get it? From a mom. I knew what the dad meant.
You have to remember my mom was nicknamed the warden at school.
Right.
When
That's
she
right.
was teaching. You did not mess with that woman. Trust me.
Well, we need more moms like that anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Permissive moms are one of the big problems in this world. The seat is so great.
Mm-hmm. We got to praise Peter Billingsley. He's just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I love
she
got to
smile
use live
too.
Voice. I love his imaginings.
Yes.
Because I was very much like that when I was a child. Well, I can't. I'm not even going to lie. I'm like that now. I go off on a daydream. They're such cute kids. They really are.
Oh, yeah. Unlike some of the kids you were teaching when you were teaching. Not good kids, but.
I have a couple of really bad kids, but all in all, of the thousands, they were all pretty cute and good kids. so funny.
It's a running gag.
Yes.
Pun intended.
Yes, and it's very literal, though. So, I mean, it's just really covers all the bases. Did you ever send away for any of those things in the back of a comic book?
Yes. I wanted to grow my own monster. Turned out.
I wanted X-ray eyes.
Remember that Ralph Bradbury story about the kid who spent away for the magic mushrooms?
No.
And they grow and they're actually extraterrestrial and they take over the family. I wanted to get some of those. Of course, I was a weird kid. I also wanted
the
flying monkey, too, from Wizard of Oz, but that's me.
Oh, I hate those things. I don't like monkeys, so if they were flying like cats, I would have loved them. This is the first real big lesson in capitalism. And if you think that you can have X-ray vision in these little sunglasses, cheap little plastic sunglasses, I can sell you a beach in the desert. What about sea monkeys? Oh, what a joke that was.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought when I first saw this. Man, sea monkeys, what a joke. For crying out loud. Did you ever have Ovaltine?
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Capitalism at its best, inserting commercials everywhere.
Now, we just missed
even
one
on
of
HBO.
The best visual puns, which I love in this movie, is he opens up the to go to the bathroom, the toilet, and then the next thing you see is the bad stew that mom's making.
Right. Well, you know, we still didn't know things back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, penicillin had just been invented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're
yeah,
so
my,
spoiled.
Oh, yeah. My mother was not a cook. My dad and my sister took over the cooking, actually, very young, like 7, 8 years old. She was cooking most of the meals.
Oh, yeah. I was doing a lot of – well, I wasn't doing a lot of cooking, but I was doing a lot of stuff by the time I was 7.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Oh, he's down there fighting with that thing, and look at him. He's just heartbroken.
Oh, yeah, he is.
It's so sad. I love that train in the background because at my grandparents' house, we live close to the train yard. My favorite house ever as a child, my grandparents' house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No, I feel sorry for him.
I don't.
But it's the way he plays it too, McGavin.
Yes.
This is how good he is in this role.
Major award. Goodbye, major award. Good riddance. Run. Oh, yeah. As a teacher, I've had to do this many times. Ha, ha, ha. that's a perfect depiction of, I think, what my students saw me as.
Yep.
Wow, the good old days. I loved old junkyards and walking through stuff like that. Orange Crush. I like that stuff, too. Oh, God. Well, everybody has their breaking point.
When you finally,
yep. When it happens, it happens. Randy saves the glasses. I love it.
That happened to me. I broke once, too, like that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ralphie won.
But he certainly changed the whole perspective.
Yes.
And that's what you do. It doesn't matter if you win. It matters if they know that you're going to stand up for yourself.
Right. Right. Right, exactly. I always loved this scene because his mother was so good to him.
Yeah.
Oh, God, father coming home from work. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Poor little Randy.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, again, this is exaggerated, but there's real emotion in that, and in this relation, these relationships.
Right. And so that you recognize your own family situations in them, which makes it endearing.
Mm-hmm.
Such a wonderful little story.
We don't use
done
that
so
word
well.
Too often, you know, endearing. But
what?
you hit it on the head.
That's because I'm an English teacher with a large vocabulary.
Well, you know. My vocabulary is nothing to sniff at either. I'm okay with it.
Yes,
but I don't use
hearing it means these days that you're too nice and you're a softie and people love to step on you. So, you know, we don't use words like that anymore, which is so wrong. This movie brings out all the things that are missing in our society. Like reading a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are times like that where things change, how you react to your family and your folks, your parents.
Well, as a child grows up, being a person who raised children, you know, there's these moments when you realize that your child is not that child anymore. Your child needs something different.
Mm-hmm.
The lesson learned there, what he didn't need to be punished for standing up for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So the lesson had to be different. Oh,
now,
gosh, when I was
Phoenix, did you have a big department store?
Fuck yeah. What do you think?
What's the name of it? That's what I'm asking.
I lived in the freaking hole in the desert.
What was the name of the department store
we
that would have
malls.
The parade?
We had these giant malls, three-story malls with ice rinks and so Santa was always in the middle of the mall.
Okay.
When I was really little, the mall was called Christown, and Santa was always close to JCPenney because Penny's was right there in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the store Broadway mm-hmm. was down at the end because it was a higher-end department store.
Right, okay. Now with us in downtown Pittsburgh, the big department store was Kaufman's. And they had a parade just like Macy's Thanksgiving parade, and they did it just like this. You'd be outside. You'd be in the middle of downtown.
Yeah. Yep, we had parades like that, too. In fact, I think that's why I feel so weird is that this holiday is I missed every parade, and it ushers in that feeling of holidays.
Well, all I can tell you is that I had a church service on Thanksgiving, had to go midtown Manhattan, got out of the subway, and I couldn't friggin' move. And it was 7:30 in the – well, it was – no, it was 8:30 in the morning, and the parade started at 9. It took me 45 minutes to get two blocks.
Yeah, that's because it was the Macy's parade.
Right, exactly. I forgot what I was walking into.
This whole scene at Christown, we had something that was just like this. You walked up the stairs, there were elves mm-hmm. around, and you slid down. This is almost exactly from the late 1960s Christown where I saw Santa. It was uncanny how... Yep, the line. And it would be so long.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at those radio flyer wagons back there. I love them. I'm thinking. That kid's freaky.
Please, give me a towel.
Yeah. Yeah, so do I. I don't like tapioca. Uh-oh.
I don't mind tapioca so much.
Yeah, you'll eat anything.
Those are a very good thickener. Like flour, like doing a roux.
Oh, God.
This whole scene is almost like a horror movie.
It is.
Right?
Well, didn't Santa ever horrify you? I hated that, have to sit on Santa's lap thing. Ugh. What if you were unlucky enough to get a Santa that was drinking? God.
Oh, yeah. See, I think part of it was I grew up, you know, in a German Eastern European household, and so, you know, Santa was not really that nice in those stories. You know, you got Krampus, you got a number of things, right? And so, you know, we talked more about St. Nicholas.
Well, I never looked at the Santa in the department store or the mall as anything real. I just looked at him as some crazy old guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of them were.
She's dry, I'm good. And gets the boot.
The whole thing about Wizard of Oz, too, which is, you know, dates it late 30s, early 40s, because Wizard of Oz came out
right.
in 39.
Right. Well, that, you're talking about the film, not the book, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm talking about the movie came out in 39.
Yeah. Okay.
Books, of course, were much earlier.
You know what's good is all these kids are the ones that are in the classroom. They use the same kids. So they got bigger paychecks. Oh, the Christmas tree. Tinsel. You know, that stuff's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Too many cats died of it, eating it.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, a lot of that shit was made out of asbestos, too.
Yes, I know. Killer Christmas trees.
Yeah. My family did not get real Christmas trees. We had artificial all the time. We never had a real Christmas tree.
We had real Christmas trees always when I was a kid. And the Christmas tree smell, I have to say, was one of the most wonderful things there is at Christmas. But I haven't had a real Christmas tree in, oh, I don't know, a long time. 30 years, maybe. Well, for one thing, I'm the one who has to clean it up all the time. And all those pine needles, holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Look at Randy. He's just so cute. He is. He's such a cute little boy. Oh, Ralphie. She can just stay out here. Let her be.
So here's a question for you. When you were a kid and you had parents for you had gifts for your parents, did you wrap them yourself?
Well, I learned, I learned how to wrap. Yeah.
See, I never
did. When I was a kid?
So my mother would do the wrapping, right? And be her gift. Well,
yeah.
I believed that for years.
Well, you are a gullible child.
Yes, I was.
I didn't care how my boys wrapped them. My boys wrapped them all the time. For me, they were wrapped in the most creative ways. I loved it. But when I was a kid, I wrapped. Mm. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just said it was much later that I found the wondrousness of gift bags. Let's just leave it.
Well, yeah, we all have found that. Yeah, that's a 21st century thing. Oh, look at those trucks. Now, I'm a kid that liked trucks. So my brother was in Tonka toys, and I'm like, whoa, look at that dump truck. That's so cool. And then somebody gave me a doll, and I'm just like, oh, dear. What am I going to do with this?
No.
I really liked my Ken doll, though. He was a blast. He could do all kinds of things that the Barbie couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ken's hair wasn't, you know, real. So Ken could go scuba diving all the time. He was just the coolest. You could pop off his arm and fill him up with water, and he would be down at the bottom of the tub or the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I still had that Ken. I'd put him right up there with the alien.
Nice.
But
now,
my
sister was a couple years older than me. Her favorite doll was Chatty Cathy. Do you remember Chatty Cathy at all?
I only remember that I prayed no one gave it to me.
Close. Who cares?
Well, you care when you don't get them.
Right.
In fact, my son up in Washington said, I'd be happy with some socks this year. Oh, no. This is the worst.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Oh, God. This happened to me. I was really quiet in the movie theater when, oh, God, bad memories.
You know, I don't blame you, kid.
Oh, Darren McGavin, perfect. This is for oh God! Stop! Poor Ralphie. Poor Ralphie. He already has a headache.
McGavin's look is just priceless.
Yeah. A pink nightmare.
Falling asleep with your favorite gift in your arms, I remember that.
I don't understand why Aunt Clara didn't sew one up for Randy.
Yeah.
Pinball. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Actually, I think that's a Plinko. That wasn't pinball. That was Plinko. I'm not sure. I'd have to take another look.
Oh.
Plinko being a type of pinball.
Right. A primitive type. I don't know. Nope. Nope, go away. Oh. No. I love this part.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, has been listening the whole time. When you think he's not...
This is about family.
Santa Claus brought it. Yes. I can still remember ours.
Mm-hmm.
Looked just like the, yep, and those little BB holders.
Yeah. Look at Candace Freak. I love that.
That's very true.
Oops.
I was blessed with good eyes. I never had to wear glasses.
No, I do.
Well, I do now that I'm old.
You're not old.
I mean, not. I can watch the TV without glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Can't read a thing without glasses.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm good close up.
Oh,
now
they
get
yeah,
so far
that was
away.
Terrible.
I need glasses. That's the other way.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I like watching movies on my computer. It's perfect.
Really? Never
yeah.
thought about that. Maybe that's why so many people love, they don't mind watching on their phones. That's
well,
weird.
I didn't say phone, okay? I didn't say phone. I've got a good computer now with a larger screen, and it works out just fine.
That's right.
Yep. The dogs.
The most unthinkable disasters. Oh, dear. I'd be pretty freaked out by this. Oh, those dogs are fighting. The screen door.
Oh, that's a great. Chinese food. Nothing wrong with that, kids. At all.
Oh,
Oh, this is so. I love it. Okay, I don't care if it's not politically correct right now. I don't fucking care.
Whatever. This is so cute and.
Yeah. And listen, I've been a choir director. I so understand this.
Of course. Nobody ever hears things and sings things, you know, the way you want them to. Only the professionals.
Mm-hmm. Now look at this. This is wonderful. Always right with the world.
Yeah, this is a really good story.
Mm-hmm. Actually, like a really good six stories all wrapped into one. It's wonderful.
Right. Yes. You don't get writing like this these days.
No. Again, as I said earlier, I don't understand why this wasn't up for Academy Awards.
No. Whatever year it was,
1983.
So you can always Google and see what the movies were up, and then you'll know why.
Mm-hmm. So, the director, Bob Clark, is also very, very famous for another Christmas movie. And give me a moment. And probably the first holiday slasher ever made. And that would be Black Christmas, which was out in 1974. He started out in horror movies. Did a film called Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, which I love. But this movie, I didn't like Porky's. He did Porky's too. But he also did a wonderful film that's kind of forgotten these days by the name of Murder by Decree, which is a Sherlock Holmes film. And it's really, really good.
Yeah,
this
is really good.
Oh yeah,
what?
This one is considered his masterpiece by far.
When did he pass away?
He passed away, I think, in 2000. Hold on, just a second, I'll tell you. 2007. I knew it was 2007 or 2008.
Wow.
15 years ago.
That wasn't even 20 years after he made this. That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Actually,
24 years.
Well, if it was 2007. Oh, you're right.
83 to 2007.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, okay. My brain was not
competing. Don't worry about it. Understood. But this is definitely, you know, a classic for Christmas. Now, you know, when we get a little bit to housekeeping here, we don't generally do classics here. And I'm so glad that you picked this movie. One thing is, it's really good. Okay, and I think a lot of us, a lot of us, you know, are so, we're so distressed with everything that's going on and so on and so forth, that sometimes we need a little reminder of the innocence in that. And I think this is a great movie to really start our watches with. So thank you so much for doing this, Vic.
Well, I was thinking that it does fit into your broad characterization of Deviant Legion, because this is not considered a classic Christmas movie. It doesn't have that crazy romance stuff with it. It doesn't have it doesn't have the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer type sentimentality. There's no sentimentality at all in this. Okay, it's like I said, it's endearing, but it's because it's got it looks at things realistically. And shows some of the funny, ironic, absurd things that happen around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's not like, certainly it's not a slasher Christmas movie that you guys all like, but it's more, it's not, what is that, Christmas on 24th Street or something, whatever.
Yeah, Christmas on 34th Street.
That's it, 34th Street. See, I don't even watch that stuff. You know, it's not a Hallmark movie. That's for damn sure.
No, and it's not trickly either. It's not sugary.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. The sentimentality is not there. And that's what makes it really, really good for, you know, audiences that love horror or science fiction or whatever. You know, it's something like a Wes Anderson movie. Like, I put this movie in the same category as, like, Moonrise Kingdom. It harkens back to a different era in such a specific and well-visualized way that it's in a category on its own.
Now, you know, that's a good comparison. That's a very good comparison. I love Moonrise Kingdom. Love Moonrise Kingdom.
Right, and it's more in this era, because you can look back in a nostalgic way without sentimentality and see all the good things and be happy
and
that, you know, you don't have to change your tire anymore, you know? And yeah, that's what I mean. Like, aren't you glad you can call a service and they can come out and help you? Just like the whole Christmas tree thing. The Christmas tree lots, they're very neat. And what I mean is neat and clean. And the trees are already manicured. It's nothing like this was. And that shows you what it used to be to what it is today. So it's really without any kind of drippy sentimentality. Again, I have to say that word. So that's why I like this movie so much.
Well,
I mean, I like things like Polar Express and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, of course, and I always watch one of my favorite renditions of A Christmas Story, because I really like that Lewis Carroll story. But it doesn't fall into any of those categories, except maybe A Christmas Story, if it is done in a very, you know, realistic way without the sentimentality part.
You mean Christmas Carol,
not
Christmas Story.
Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, with me and us here at Deviant Legion, we sort of go the other way.
I know.
I mean, one of the movies I always watch during Christmas is The Ref. dark, a little comedy. But talking about that, we should be talking a little bit about housekeeping. So, first off, on Saturday, talking about odd films for Christmas, we're going to be doing a commentary watch at 9 p.m. EST, 8 p.m. Central, of The Silent Partner, which is set at Christmas. It is a heist movie. And you know, you get this argument that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Well, it's set at Christmas, so on and so forth. Got a great villain. And it's an action film. Well, think of this. Think of Die Hard that's not an action film but a chess match between a very sadistic Christopher Plummer and a very underrated Elliot Gould as a bank teller. And it gets really, really complicated, and it's a great little movie. And we're going to be doing, and it's one of my favorite Christmas movies. So there, we're going to do that. Now, for those that are listening, I think you may know this already, but if you don't, we had a tragedy happen to our family here at Deviant Legion this week. T.C. Clark, otherwise known as Tom Clark, someone I've known for over 50 years, he passed away on Wednesday. And so I will be taking over his shows. And this Sunday, I had actually planned this for Saturday, but we're going to do it Sunday. I am going to be moving to Memphis, Tennessee. And so Rachel will be with us. I have a whole playlist of great Memphis songs that we're going to do, almost 2 hours total of music. So you want to join us for that. I will say this in honor of TC that we will be doing a memorial, but that will not happen, a memorial podcast, until January. What I can tell you is that on the 17th, there will be no show because that's the day I'll be moving. We'll be in the midst of moving. But on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve, we're going to do a classical Christmas, all classical music and choral music, and all sacred. Maybe a secular tune, one in there, but classical composers. And before that, the week before that, once I get settled in, I know we're going to have a Christmas, anti-Christmas playlist. I know that we're going to do a couple more commentary watches, but it's sort of up in the air right now. So that's what we have planned. And again, you know, our love and condolences to everyone who knew TC and his family and everybody, our love and concern for everybody. So that's what's happening now. Vicki, you have anything else that's happening for you?
Well, I just want to say that we will resume our Mad Max, our third movie in the Mad Max trilogy that we've been doing. We're going to do Fury Road. And I think we were talking about doing it before New Year's.
Yeah, we could do it maybe in between Christmas or New Year's or even before Christmas if you want to do it. We're still
No,
open,
I don't have
open.
The time. I'm sorry, I don't have the time.
Well, that's
I don't
fine.
Have the
Most
time
don't.
Before Christmas. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe between Christmas and New Year's we can do that.
Yes, yes. And we want to have Stephen Ron Keough with us, and so we'll try to get that together. Because it's
All
a
right.
great way to bring in the new year.
Absolutely. You know what I think of kick-ass women? I'm all for it.
Well,
absolutely.
Not just that. There's other things involved in that
movie. Absolutely. All right, folks. Well, listen, thank you so much for listening and being part of our commentary watch. Vicki, I think I should let you say the good night.
Okay.
It's your show,
well,
more
thank
or less.
You. Well, thank you for tuning in and watching this movie with us. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a lot of laughs and giggles and a few nostalgic moments. And it was my pleasure doing it. And so see you again next time. And thank you very much. And have a really nice evening or morning or afternoon. Good night,
yes,
everyone.
Good night. And Vicki, you're always welcome back anytime. And thank you very much for listening, folks. And I think at this point, it's time to say good night. So good night it is.